Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here. Oh my gosh, I'm here. What a week.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we had if we're talking episode to episode, our week started good. We literally did go out to Total Wine and
After the last show, we went out to Total Wine and a couple of natural food grocery things.
Yeah, just to do some research for this episode.
Yeah.
We wound up tasting like four or five different whiskeys while we were at Total Wine.
Oh, that was... The one was a triple oak and one was a quadruple oak.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wish my wife was there. She's going to be mad at me for whiskey tasting without her.
But... Yeah, I'm sure she had some words for you and will continue to have some words for you for a little while. But,
Well,
as your wife is so fond of saying, the dead don't suffer. So
yeah, well,
I'm sure I'll see you next
week. Yeah, I'm sure you will too. Just what state of breakage and what we should be seeing. I'm not scared. Anyway, so before we get started here, we'd like to thank Box and Barley Corner for being our sponsor to this day.
Absolutely. They have been our sponsor for
before we started.
Right. We're coming up on a year now.
Mm-hmm. And well, we got to do a recap or something at the end of this year, our first year.
Yeah, we really do. The hits, the misses, the goods, the bads. Not that there's that much bad.
No. Well, I hope not. I think it was pretty good. I've really enjoyed this last year.
Yeah. I mean, worst case, we spent about an hour sitting around drinking and talking and, maybe we had some weird topics like microbiology that wasn't necessarily useful to everybody, but it was still a fun conversation.
And
spread a little knowledge out there.
And meat is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, and well, you know what we're coming up on real soon, though, too.
What? Thanksgiving?
Two more weeks. Oh, we are episode 300.
300. That is so cool.
Yeah,
right? That is freaking cool. I don't know what that means to you guys out there, but being a part of this, even though I'm relatively new to it, mm-hmm. I haven't even done 100 episodes, but cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm really enjoying this.
As the guest of honor on episode one, it's cool for me too.
All right. Anyway, my Buckley Barker has been there every step of the way. They offered to sponsor us. They continue to support us. They're unshaking and we greatly appreciate it. If you have anything you want to learn to ferment, cheese, kombucha, yogurt.
To say nothing of the basics like beer and cider and wine and meat.
Yeah. And what they have the equipment, the knowledge, and the passion to help you make it really good right out of the start. And if you use our promo code, MHP10, still have to think that through. Still have to think that through. Dyslexia is the thing. But anyway, MPH10. You can get 10% off,
right,
of your online order. And if you go there, happen to go there, make a pilgrimage, or just happen to be in the area, you stop and say hi to Jake and his buddies and ask. They may even give it to you in store.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet they would. So, thank you, Box and Barley Corn, for supporting the show. And thank you guys for listening. That's the other group we need to thank is our listeners.
Yeah.
It's week after week. I get to see the
comments, the metrics.
Yeah.
It's getting better. But I mean, having you guys more engaged is such an incredible shot in the arm to me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the fact that we're getting a little bit further out and more people are listening and checking us out and seeing what's what. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Just, even the people that shoot us a message like, hey, I heard your episode last week. It was real. The discussion you had was really funny and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Even that occasional comment you get with, how much do you guys drink? I can tell you right now, one bottle.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, when I was doing this with JD and Ryan and we had like an hour and a half long episode, I usually had two glasses going. And I didn't always do two bottles worth, but I had two bottles.
Yeah.
Open. And I could have drank more. But that was,
I'm really glad we made that adjustment when we started just having one bottle instead of the two. Mm-hmm.
We're a shorter format though, too. I'm not sitting here for an hour and a half talking. I'm sitting here for a half hour to an hour. A little closer to an hour most days, but
it was nice.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate each and every one of you. Keep listening. Keep giving us your comments, what you want to hear about, what you have questions about. And actually, we're going to start today's show. We're going to do a few other questions we found along the way to like the first half of what we're doing.
Right.
What we're doing.
We had some, We had fun with the mailbag last week. We had a few more that we didn't quite get to, so I
And
thought
we're going
we
to finish that off. And one of the things we wanted to bring up is we got to talk about a guy last week named Veggie, who
would.
had the prickly pear mead he was trying.
Right.
And he got the puree from Total Wine, which is
Right.
why we went out, after that show to go take a look at.
Yeah, so I held on to most of it for a week.
Yeah, well.
Had to sample a little because, what's this all about?
And I tried it just for this show, and it's actually really good. Just mixing it with water was good.
Right. Yeah. No. My wife had an unfortunate incident trying to mix it with some gin and some vanilla. And it's so hard to find a vanilla flavor that overbears every other flavor. Vanilla is such a good supporting character, but
And it was my suggestion to use the vanilla. I have to take this. They have to take this personally because I gave her the bad advice.
it's yeah,
It
no,
overpowered everything.
it was a vanilla cocktail
It was a vanilla, straight up vanilla cocktail.
with notes of juniper.
Yeah, the gin was overpowered. The prickly pear was over. Everything was overpowered. It was gin. It was a. They're here. Have vanilla. Who?
That could have gone better. But this getting to taste prickly pear again, and this was a sweet prickly pear. It was a nice prickly pear. It tasted good. It gives me some ideas. And it says, this is worth investigating a little. That said,
That said, we read the bottle
the ingredients list.
on the greens list.
Potassium sorbate is included in this, as it's included in a lot of processed foods for,
It's a
just filling.
preservative,
Yeah.
and that's absolutely fine. The thing is, it will fight you. It will fight yeast.
Yeah, it is antimicrobial. You understand that that means yeast is a microbe too. It's going to prevent bacterial spoilage and
Fermentation.
all kinds of stuff. Fermentation by Saccharomyces cerevisiae is definitely in that category.
So our best advice, if you're listening, Veggie, if you saw us last week, our best advice that from what we now have read from the label, use it in secondary if you're going to do that.
This is probably something you want to like more or less back sweeten with, right? At the end of your fermentation process, you're safest just adding this before bottle to taste and it going that way. I mean, I realize trying to balance something like, more sweet and delicate is not easy in a secondary kind of situation, but that's how I would take it, definitely. Your other options for getting rid of that sorbate are not great. I mean, you could try.
And what we tasted was not bitter at all. So I'm going to stand behind my you peel it, take the rind off, and then
Yeah,
use the middle.
I'm willing to bet that the bitter aftertaste that I had in that liqueur from my honeymoon was probably just a processing thing, where they were probably just crushing the fruit whole and didn't really do much to get rid of the skins. Kind of an idea.
Anyway, so I wanted to touch base with that because after we discovered that, we said, ah, we got we, I want to revise that just a little bit now.
Yeah, but now I'm wondering, can we find some what do I want to say? Some prickly pear juice that's just pasteurized but not, preservative treated, or a pulp puree kind of something. There's all kinds of options we could feasibly get, right?
We'll give it a try. Amaretti has it, apparently. I've just looked it up just now. Amaretti has some.
Beverage infusion, okay.
It's a beverage infusion. Here's a perfectly the perfect puree. It's a little on the pricey side, but let's
Web
see.
restaurant store. Yeah, let's see what the volume on that looks like.
Okay, let's see here.
Mean.
Prickly pear, cactus fruit, cane sugar. Ascorbic and malic acid.
I mean, ascorbic acid is there for a pure, or a, what do I want to say, a preservative thing. But yeah, that's a pretty agreeable preservative,
Yeah.
end of the day.
And it's a container of 30 ounces. You can make a gallon pretty easily out of
I would think so, yeah.
it.
So it's an option. At $30 for 30 ounces, it's not a small price, but.
It's $30. I didn't say, I said it was pricey, but but there's also two less Vergers Baron prickly pear 100% puree 2.2 pounds for $55.50. I just this is a quick Google search, guys.
Yeah.
It's out there apparently. Just watch out for your preservatives in there.
Yeah,
Your
absolutely.
stay buddy.
Check your ingredient labels, especially anything you're going to put in a primary, obviously,
Yeah.
because that's going to make you have a bad day.
And and we talked about last week, and we'll talk about many weeks before, and we'll talk about many weeks in the future. You cry, and you have to throw it out.
It's not fun. And hey, on that prickly pear line, our meat of the day is well, it's not prickly pear, but it is a kind of a tropical fruit. It's in that flavor family, I've been told. We have one of Chris's dragon fruits
Yeah, I brought my dragon fruit in. I bottled this at the beginning of the year in January 25. On the 25th of that month, actually, I don't know why I put the day on there, but I did. But
Well, so it's had a nice little time to sit here.
so we've given it a good 10 months to sit and just let it rest, and it's got a light amber color, almost a little better than straw, I think.
Yeah, light to medium amber, I would say. It's got a nice, it looks like a light honey.
Yeah, but dragon fruit's a white fruit, the pulp of it, so it's not going to give a lot of color. And I actually used a pure squeezed fruit that I got to as my base.
So like a puree or a juice
It
or
was a juice.
okay.
It was dragon fruit juice. I had like I made a gallon of it, and I used about 45 ounces of it was dragon fruit juice.
Okay. And did you just use like a standard honey for this
I
or
used a
like a
standard, my
little bit of
standard
wildflower kind of?
it was just a wildflower basic honey that I get from a restaurant supply.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to make this too fancy, because I would deal with the unknown a lot.
Sure. Yeah. And it has a nice kind of really, it's a subdued, light tropical kind of smell on the nose.
And actually, to me, the honey, the smell of the honey is the support for that tropical.
I'd buy that. Yeah, it has a, it's just a light tropical fruit flavor. I don't really, it's been a while since I've had like whole fresh dragon fruit, you know?
Yeah, well, dragon fruit is a very mild fruit to begin
Yes, that's, I've heard it described as chewy water.
with. Yeah, I've heard that too.
And yeah, no, it's just, it's light. It has that kind of, it feels reductive to say it has a tropical fruit flavor because that's such a wide umbrella. But yeah, no, it's
It's
just.
very mild, but it's actually Jeff, just on the flavor alone, because I didn't write it on the bottle, I know what the percentage is. What does it taste like to you?
ABV wise?
Yeah. They couldn't be surprised.
Is that a 14er?
Almost 15 and a half.
Well, yeah.
The 15 and a half, but it's a smooth 15 and a half.
It's very smooth. It's, this is not something I got from the flavor. I got that percentage from like taking a swallow, breathing out, and seeing how much alcohol was on the like vapor of it. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot closer than I thought you'd get, to be honest. I thought you'd be guessing 10 to 12.
I would have if I hadn't done that last test. That would have been, I would have said, oh yeah, no, this is maybe 10.
Yeah, but it's a 15 and a half, but it's a smooth 15 and a half. I'm glad I set those 10 months, because it made a world of difference. I will tell you, when I first bottled it, when I had my the Maker's Cup, it was not nearly as smooth. It was a lot harsher.
Well, and like we keep saying, patience is one of the best things you can put into a meat, right?
Yeah, and that's another reason why I like making a lot of varieties, because the new ones I've just made, I can wait, and I can use the ones I've already made and keep drinking.
There is something to be said for that,
Yeah,
yes.
and I don't have to have the same flavors. It's just I have my drinking ones, and I have my waiting ones. But that is me today. Hope you enjoy
Yeah, this is great. This will be fun to chat and sip and drink through. And hey, on the topic of Total Wine, while we were at Total Wine, I
it.
mentioned one of these other ones that I read and thought was fun.
Oh yeah.
This is user Tella231. This looks like it's about a week and a half old at this point. Gin and tonic mead.
Gin and tonic meat.
I was thinking about making a traditional mead, but using tonic water instead of distilled water, and then adding gin herbals to the secondary. Would this work? Would the yeast survive the tonic water? Would it then serve? I would then serve it through my kegerator, which would carbonate
Okay,
it.
bold,
So,
bold.
would the yeast ferment it?
Probably
I
not.
don't think so.
Probably not.
The thing that makes tonic water is quinine, which is like,
It kills bacteria.
it is an antibacterial, antimicrobial agent. I think I could be wrong, but I think they used to use it to treat malaria before antibiotics were a major thing.
I'll take your word for that. I don't know that
It's
part much about that part of history.
right. It's one of those things like this is before we got better at health stuff, this was a thing we used for health stuff. And the fact that we put it in gin cocktails is just kind of a process of, oh yeah, no, we also put fruit, we put citrus fruit in gin cocktails to prevent scurvy. So
Yes, yay. It's a thing, but you know.
it's medicine. It's medicine. A
I don't think gin, your tonic water is going to let you ferment. I
No,
really don't.
no.
That's, especially with the amount you have put in,
To get a
you're
pronounced,
stacking the deck really hard against the yeast.
yeah. So if you were going to make a gin and tonic cocktail, or if you were going to make a gin and tonic mead, gin and tonic inspired meads, cocktail inspired meads are a fun thing
Yeah.
we could talk about sometime too.
I do it secondary.
Well, how would you start? What would you start with in primary? Just make a
I do
traditional.
a standard mead
Okay.
and maybe put the lime in with the standard, make a citrus lime mead. A little heavy on the lime because it's gonna mellow out over time. And then at in secondary, after I've killed the yeast, then I would add the tonic water. That's what I would do.
I think I would take a very similar approach. I might use like a, I would take a kind of a, at our house we like the more citrusy floral kind of meads as opposed to the like the London dries. So I would probably lean on that a little bit more. I'd throw some lemon zest, lime zest in there in primary. Let that kind of do its thing. I might even use orange blossom honey instead of a wildflower.
Oh, nice.
That could add just another little slight dimension. And then before I add, we were talking, this came up, I remembered this because I also saw the tonic syrup that they were
Oh, yeah,
talking
I
about,
saw
some
that
of the
too.
like the extract syrup. Basically it's that the tonic flavor in the tonic water, but concentrated in the syrup form. And so we were talking about, oh yeah, no, that's what you would use in secondary to get that the tonic part of that flavor for the gin part of that flavor. I think you got to take a secondary approach of just using some. Do you want to tincture this? Do you want to just add some spices in a little like bag? I would probably just do spices in a bag
Yeah, it makes
because,
it easy.
but we would want to throw in juniper, obviously. We
Yeah.
would want to throw in probably like angelica root or maybe some other fun stuff.
Maybe like star aniseed.
Star anise would probably be a good one. A
Yeah.
little rosemary would be nice. A
That'd be
little
nice. Yeah, I didn't think about that
coriander
one.
would be nice. We've got a lot of options there, and this is a very much a dealer's choice of what kind of gin do you like and what goes into that, you know? Last summer, I think it was, or was it last summer, or, no, it was last summer, I did a little gin mixing class thing with a local distiller where, like, basically he had made distilled tinctures of all these different herbal stuff, and you could just mix a 3-7 or a, like a 750 bottle of gin with these different elements to make your own like version of gin.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I don't know that I learned that much about like making my own gin so much as just blending some different herbal tinctures to make the gin flavor that I liked, but it was still a fun class and I got to take home a bottle of liquor for it.
Okay,
So,
well,
you
that's
know.
money well spent. But no, but
Yeah, the quinine here
quinine
is
is going to be your
that's
problem.
going to be the problem. So, the fact that they have those the syrups like kind of like the prickly pear, you can just add in secondary before you get to the bottle phase.
You'll be fine. Yeah, I trust me. People say if you add the syrup, you don't get the full flavor. Yeah, you really do. You really, it's not fighting the yeast. It's not going through the fermentation process where it alters a lot of flavor at
Right,
times.
the fermentation process is it's a biotransformation. There are some of those flavors that change dramatically
Yeah.
as the the yeast process all the sugar and some of the other stuff going on into it and make it into alcohol and farts.
Classy. Well, I know,
Let's be
but
honest.
we'll be honest about it. But you will get more pure lime flavor, juniper flavor, tonic flavor in secondary than you will in the primary. I mean, there's absolutely no reason in the world if you just make traditional meads and add whatever flavor you want at the end, you couldn't do that. I don't do that unless it's necessary, like for tonic water.
And realistically, we could go a step further and make this really lazy. Make a traditional mead or make a citrusy mead. Then instead of doing the herbs and stuff in secondary, we could just fortify this with some gin
Yeah,
and then add some of the tonic syrup. Boom and boom.
I mean, I don't. Okay, I love the art process, so I'm not going to do
No.
that. But you can,
Right. You
and
choose the level of your engagement here, guys.
yeah.
There are many ways to skin this cat.
But honestly, guys, we're hobbyists. We're not professionals. We don't sell, and At the end of the day, we want a good tasting meat.
Yeah.
Get there how you want.
This is, you're making, we're making mead for our friends and family primarily, and for ourselves. And if that's all it takes, if that's the level of satisfaction you get is, hey, I got this gin and tonic mead and it tastes nice. And that's how you get there. Cool. Good on you,
Like,
dude.
now the carbonation part of that, bold choice. Gin and tonic is not carbonated.
Well, the tonic water usually is. It's you mix the tonic water and the gin, and it's more in the Petalin range, right?
Okay,
That
fair.
kind of partially carbonated. And some people really like Petalin mead. I've heard on I kind of read a the National Homebrew Association, National Homebrew Competition. I read some reports from this year's competition winners, things like that they had some strong showings in the Petalint meads, and judges just love that stuff. I, as a judge, do not love Petalint mead, either carbonate or don't. This in-between stuff is meh. It's boring.
Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never had a carbonated mead I really enjoyed that wasn't citrus. If it's citrus, I enjoy it. If it's not, I don't. Flat out.
Fair, fair.
Mean, and that's I guess I'm, Seven Up Sprite generation thing is where I came from on that one, but I don't enjoy it. Unless it is a citrus, I'm not a game.
Fair. So hey, moving on to a different one here. This was such a novel solution to the cranberry problem that I talked about before,
Yeah.
that I am surprised I hadn't thought of it myself.
This is one of those things, like Da Vinci said, simplicity is complicated.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is sophisticated or something like
Right. The yes. Mom's cranberry sauce recipe made into a mead.
I'll be darned.
When you're making cranberry sauce, like you start with cranberries and
You cook
sugar.
it down,
Yeah,
removing water, making it more concentrate.
and break open the damn skins on those stupid things that make them float, or you have to slice up and you burn so much time
Yeah.
and effort. Like you could just, he done 44 ounces of cranberries into a pan. That's 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And geez, you do that twice. That's 5 pounds of cranberries going into a 5 gallon batch of mead. That's probably more than enough
It's probably more
food-wise.
than enough
And
cranberry
this
for me.
looks like a 5 gallon batch of mead right here in the photo that he's included with this. Or she, user the sea pug.
Yeah.
Gender is not really a relevant
He
thing
is
in that
fine.
name. So yeah, that they, if we want to be, glib and vague on that one. But no, the cooking it down to get rid of the skins and get into that and get the sugar all concentrated. They said they used less. They used about half as much honey as the usual sugar amount would be if they were using like cane sugar. So obviously they're going to add more sugar to make just the meat itself, but hell, man, that's such a good idea. Granted, you're probably going to get a little bit of a cooked fruit character, but the fruit's getting used. It's not
Yeah,
like the cranberries are going to be floating live like the quarter of the cranberry sauce or cranberry batch that I did last time that had nothing in it. That like those were just kind of, I had to scoop them out when I racked because they weren't going anywhere and they weren't doing anything. That waxy outer covering didn't.
Wasn't that paranoid? Yeah, I had cranberries. Maybe I had last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a few weeks we got Thanksgiving too. So,
Get ready for, start and make plan for 2026 Thanksgiving now. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, we'll have a good.
once you get to that point, I mean, I don't know when you start your timing, just let it sit and age. I start after I bottle. That's just, but
Yeah, generally. I mean,
after it's done, I'll start the clock on that. But even a good 9 month age, 8, 9 months is pretty stellar for me.
well, and cranberries are one of those things, like if you are hell-bent on using fresh cranberries instead of like the Vintner's Best or Vintner's Harvest or whatever, that's the gallon jug you turn into 5 gallons of
Or
stuff,
amaretti or whatever.
right, whatever dealer's choice there on your flavor shortcuts. If you want to use whole cranberries, there are not a lot of times other than right about meow that you can get
Fresh cranberry.
fresh cranberry in stores. especially at volumes to make a 5 or 6 gallon batch, right?
Absolutely. So there you go.
So.
So yeah, but she used his mother's cranberry preserves she made. That part, whoever it
Well,
was.
the process for making the cranberry sauce, except the sauce got pitched
Got pitched into
a mead.
a mead, yeah.
And holy hell, that was
What a
good.
great idea.
Like,
Now,
props to
a
you.
problem. And now you got me thinking, because there every year about this time, I go to Aldi and get to the cranberry cinnamon goat cheese log.
Okay, yeah.
Now I want to add cinnamon to it. Maybe lactose.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
But I, you know, that's as far as I'm taking it. The idea literally just jumped in my head about that.
Well, in cranberry and cinnamon, I probably tasted this goat cheese myself at some point, and it just sounds nice.
It's
Cranberry
a
and
very
cinnamon,
pleasant
yes.
flavor. I think I'd make a very pleasant mead flavor and have lactose for like the goat cheese or creaminess of the cheese part.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I got a spare bottle. I got a spare
What?
gallon.
And you know the same idea of like cooking down cranberries to make a sauce has me going, you know, the other thing I think about this time of year that it's maybe not as much of a seasonal flavor as cranberries is, but like that involves cooking down a fruit to get to something, marmalade.
Really?
Cook down some orange to get that
Orange, yeah,
jammy
the orange
orange.
peel, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
Add a
that could
little
be
extra
fun.
acid, get that the peel bitterness out of there, yeah.
Could be worse, right?
Yeah, good. Sorry, guys, we get distracted with, ooh, what could we do now?
The list keep growing faster than we can get stuff crossed off. It's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Unfortunately true, but
And
nonetheless. All right, so what's do you have anybody else left on your listing there?
yeah, I had one more, and this is again, this is Reddit. This is about a week and a half old at this point. This is user Hildogen, Hildogen, says trouble with forced carbonation. Help! Hello. Lately, I've been experimenting with using a Kegland Ox Bar setup to force carbonate sweetened hydromels 4 to 7%.
Okay.
However, I can't seem to get it nearly as carbonated as I would like, and the bubbles seem to dissipate in a couple minutes. By then, I have something slightly effervescent, if even. But some of the carbonated stuff I've had at meaderies are at least as bubbly as beer and seem to hold strong for a while after served. I seem to have gotten the most success after letting it sit in the fridge at 15 to 20 PSI for about a week. Shaking it a few times along the way, serving it at 5 to 10 PSI with a 2.5 foot long tube. It serves with a steady flow and very little head, but the bubbles fade pretty quickly. From what I've tested, there doesn't seem to be any air leaks. Is there something I can do for more intense bubbles that last longer? Would love to have something like a soda, but beer would be okay too. Thanks.
Okay. I don't know much about carbonation, I'll be honest, but my first knee-jerk thought is a beerator. Get it carbonated as you come is coming out. I mean, if you want the bubbles to stay while you're drinking it, that's my first thought. But I don't know the process very well, except what you told me and taught me. So what do you got, Jeff?
I'm going to look up this Ox Bar real quick because I don't know what that is that he's using. It's a Kegland product, and Kegland usually makes some interesting stuff. They have a competitor to the Tilt Hydrometer lately, but
Okay.
that you we talked about this a while back, that the Tilt Hydrometer is it's a computerized little hydrometer that uses its weight function to determine temperature and gravity,
Yeah.
and then
You just
can
throw it in, leave it in, it's Wi-Fi'd,
yeah,
right?
well it connects via Bluetooth to like your phone or
Well,
like
yeah.
I've got a Raspberry Pi I can connect to it too,
Okay.
so that it can chart that over like a you know
A process.
right or over the firm over the course of fermentation to get like a nice little chart of how fast
I'll bring a lighter mead next time. Sorry.
it fine.
Okay.
But they have a competitor product on their market that does the same thing. But the cool thing is, I don't know what Tilt is charging for their hydrometers now. The Kegland hydrometers are at I think they're like $70,
Okay.
but you can pay another 50 to get a wireless charger, so you don't have to open the hydrometer and replace the battery. The batteries that go into the tilt hydrometers, they kind of look like they're designed for camera batteries, like the big flashes. They kind of look like a double A battery, except they're a little fatter and a little shorter. They are kind of a pain in the butt to replace because you have to have that thing real well sealed, otherwise you're getting mead in, or
Inside
beer
your,
into your electronic parts.
which is, sounds like a bad idea. I don't think
It
it'll work
is,
really well like that.
yeah, it is deleterious to the technology to
Yeah.
get wet.
I don't
Yes.
think the mead will be bothered that much, but I'm pretty sure the technology will be.
So the aux bar that he's talking about looks like this is a PET plastic keg, essentially. So yeah, no, it looks like you've got these are ball lock posts on top. Got a couple different sizes here. These look like they would work fine. I don't know what kind of regulator you're using. If you've got, according to the post, they said that they were leaving this in their fridge at 15 to 20 PSI for about a week. And
Is that good? I mean, would you go higher?
I would start higher. I usually, when I'm doing like a force keg kind of situation, I will chill it to goddamn near freezing, not just leave it at refrigerator temperature, but like I want it at 32. Because the colder it is, the more CO2 will stay dissolved in solution.
Okay, so let me ask you. Let's get to 32, almost freezing. Carbonate it, cap it, is going to stay liquid until you uncap it, then it'll get bubbles.
The bubbles come from that coming out of solution, out of being under pressure. I would start at a pressure of like 30 to 35, honestly. I wouldn't keep it at that, but I would start it there and shake it once or twice. Or, what I've even done is taken that cold ass keg, laid it on its side at pressure, and just sat and watched TV with my feet on it, just kind of rolling it back and forth while I'm watching TV for a few minutes. You just want to encourage that CO2 to get dissolved into the liquid the better you can.
Okay, so he didn't say he agitated it, so that could be part of it.
He said he shook it a couple times. Now, the other thing that we're talking about here, serving pressure, they mentioned at 5 to 10 PSI. That's a little high for serving pressures. Like if you're going to a bar and you're getting Bud Light or whatever pulled off a tap, that's often in the 2 to 3 PSI range, if I'm not mistaken.
So
5 to 10 is a lot more
that's excessive.
reasonable. Yeah, for a home keg system, that's a lot. 5 to 7 is usually where I'm serving at, so it's not. It's, it may be a little high, but it's not out of the ballpark. 2.5 foot line seems about right. It might be. You might experiment with getting it a little shorter. The longer you've got in the line, the more just chances you've got for like weird agitation along the pipe as it's going from pressure keg to not pressure serving vessel. So you could get bubbles and stuff knocked up around there, and you can lose a little bit of pressure that way. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but you might experiment with it. There are some counterflow or like adjustable flow taps you can get if you're willing to spend an arm and a leg. I bought some at like $80, and they kind of work. They're kind of okay. I didn't really play with them enough or have enough like reason to have a keg on hand all the time to get a lot of experience with those. But the other thing to think about here is that we're serving mead, not beer. So the head, remember 2 weeks ago we talked about gluten-free beers? Gluten is
Is
what
what makes the
makes that
head.
head
Yeah, I
last.
remember
It's one
that.
of those proteins that is kind of primary in making sure your beer has that long-lasting head. If you don't have gluten in a cider or beer,
Or
whatever,
mead or whatever,
it's not going to
you're not going to have
last.
a head.
It's not going to last nearly as long. That's not necessarily a bad thing. From a presentation standpoint, for a carbonated beverage, you want to see the bubbles, right? Or you want to at least see that
But I can look through the side of the glass and
part.
see bubbles and I'll be happy.
Yes, and it's the same way with like, getting a fountain drink soda at the pizza shop, right? You get the little plastic cup, you see the bubbles coming up the side, that's carbonated, even if the head disappears right away. The soda pop kind of head is probably what you're looking for here, as opposed to,
A beer head.
right. That said, I've heard of a couple different ways to get better head in a mead that's carbonated. One of them, I don't remember the exact ingredient for it, but somebody was telling me that they were experimenting with it. They had good results. And
Okay.
I looked into it myself, and apparently it can provoke bad reactions for people with my atrial fibrillation heart
Okay.
condition. So I said, well, no, maybe not.
Not worth
Maybe
the effort.
I don't need a lasting
Foaming
foamy
head.
head on my meat. But you know, there is another option that's probably not as good as proper gluten, but still works. Aquafaba.
I don't know what that is.
You ever get canned chickpeas
Yeah.
with a little liquid inside it?
Yeah. I think I know where you're going
The
now.
liquid in that is aquafaba. It
Okay.
is rich in protein. And as long as you're not using very much of it, relatively flavor neutral.
Okay.
So make you some nice hummus, save the water, add a couple tablespoons to a gallon,
And
and
let's see what happens.
worst case, you've got a little bit longer of a head on that sucker than otherwise you would. So, well, try it.
Give it a try.
It's I'm saving aquafaba for just the same kind of experiment. I just haven't really had a mead that I wanted a long-lasting head with that I'd bother to carbonate for
Maybe
later.
you should go on into that thread and put in this episode as soon as it comes out. Maybe I'll get an idea or two.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I might just hey, take a look and see what you think. So yeah, no, I think you're on the right idea. I think I would bump the pressure at least initially. You know, the 20% is probably a good spot to end at. Not, or sorry, 20 PSI is probably a good spot to end at. Not necessarily start and continue at. I'd go a little higher and just let it breathe out a
Naturally,
little bit. Yeah.
okay.
And yeah, no, if realize you're just not going to get a lasting head without some kind of protein structure in there or some kind of chemical structure in there doing that for you. So,
Again, at the end of the day, what are you looking for? A good head, or are you looking for a good meat? I mean, come on. It's not hard math.
there's an inappropriate joke to be made there, but
Well,
bottom.
we're not going to do that, are we? Because we're classy here.
Yes, very classy.
Well,
Two middle-aged men just getting drunk in a garage in a on a Saturday afternoon. Very classy.
yeah, very classy.
So after we did the total wine last week
Yeah.
and we got the passion, not passion fruit, prickly
Pick
pear puree,
prepare for right.
we said, hey, you know, let's go check out some of these other places with the little syrups and things like that. And we went to Natural Grocers and then we went and hit up Sprouts.
And
And
we were kind of disappointed, to be blunt.
well,
They didn't have a whole lot.
the selection of especially syrups, I remember being a lot more interesting. Like when I got started in this whole thing like 10 years ago, we had like elderberry syrups and the concentrate syrups of elderberry, blueberry, blackberry, black cherry, things like that that we could, you could use those in a like secondary back sweetening kind of situation and add just an extra little flavor to any mead or whatever. And they're just not really there.
No,
And
we saw like a an elderflower echinacea, an elderflower cinnamon, and those were the exotic ones we saw.
Yeah, those were the kind of interesting ones. A lot of stuff they weren't even concentrates, they were just
Yeah,
juices.
there's
Like
juices. Now, don't get me wrong, you can use the juice. We use apple cider straight up in some of our
hell
mixes.
yes. We talked about last episode we just did a like a friendly, fall-ish visit to Lewisburg, the big cider mill by us,
Yeah.
and grab some cider. So we'll be talking about stuff that I make from that here probably in another month or two.
Yeah.
But
Same here.
the end of the day, when the biggest bottles of those juices they have is like a pint and a half,
Now you got an expense here, buddy.
yeah, it's not a cheap pint and a half either. We got to get volume on this if we're going to make even a gallon of mead, let alone like a 5 gallon batch. So there's definitely some cool ideas, but we need to elaborate and we need a better source than these guys too.
If you
That
guys know of any, let us know. We're
yeah.
looking.
I know the brand of tart cherry juice that they had there. I can get like a lot of tart cherry juice for a fairly reasonable price on Amazon, or at least I have once before.
Yeah.
And so I might continue looking at that if I decided another tart cherry is in
The works.
the cards to do. But
And there is a black cherry in my cards coming up soon.
true. So while we were there though, we stopped by the fresh fruit aisle
We
and
did.
we found some cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're always we will, especially when we're out wandering these places together. Oh, what can we make into mead is pretty prevalent in our
Yeah,
head.
yeah.
But we found something called plum cots.
Right. Hand me one of those if you would. Thank you. Bye. Based on the name, I'm assuming this is a hybrid of a plum and an apricot.
Well, it's a red plum apricot, so I'm thinking a red plum and an apricot.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's and
Smells like nothing. I don't smell a thing.
it's a stone fruit. These have a light smell, if anything, except for nectarines. Nectarines smell like heaven.
Oh yeah,
And
they're
they
great.
are fairly pungent. Most have no scent whatsoever.
This is one of them.
Yeah,
I
this
got
is.
nothing.
So yeah, it's a red fruit about a little bigger than a
Literally a golf ball.
yeah, it's about a golf ball size.
Very mild.
There's a light yellow flesh inside the red skin.
Kind of a thick-ish skin, like medium skin. So it's a nice crunch.
Yeah, it has some Christmas to it. And
I would be hard. I'd have to turn this into a syrup to get flavor out of it, though. It's so mild.
it's very mild. It has a kind of a green grape flavor to it. Very juicy, though.
So, anybody out there who's worries about our health because of all our drinking, we do eat sometimes fresh fruit even.
I'm sure my doctor will be encouraged to hear that, except if she's like listening to all the episodes and realizes how much I'm drinking. And maybe she might have some questions.
Yeah, well, go find an extra appointment. Can't you?
Note to self, bring a bottle to the next appointment.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, I'm doing better right here. I try this.
Let's fudge those A1C numbers a little bit, Doc.
No,
No, not
don't do
let's not do that.
that.
That's a terrible idea. But yeah, no,
It's okay.
it's nice to eat whole. I couldn't see, like, is the flavor novel? Not really.
No, it's not.
It's
It's so mild, it's forgettable.
It's honestly, I don't like it as much as I just like an apricot, you know?
Or even a plum.
Right. Plums are not as potent as apricots, but I like those better than this too. This is kind of, it's somewhere in between and somewhere a little bit muted from the two.
Well, I said we could try it, and here we are trying it. I
Yeah,
mean, I'm not mad.
it's important to try new things, if nothing else, just to see what's available, what's out there. I just don't think this is going to be a reasonable, like, oh, we're going to have to get some plumicot trees so we can make a big 10-gallon batch of plumicot mead, you
No.
know? I think this
So
is
the answer to that, no, not really.
yeah, no, not really.
Really, I'm not happy.
Yeah,
But that's not where I stop.
right. Well, and I final thoughts, this is still nice to eat. This is still very juicy.
Oh, I
Like
like it.
I see why they have these whole
Yeah.
and available, because they are nice.
They're nice
But
and perfectly enjoyable. A nice little snack.
this is just not the vector for that to turn into a
A flavorful mead, which is what I want.
right.
I mean, the reason I do hydromel is because I want that powerful fruit flavor of whatever I'm using in my mead.
Yeah, well, and the name of the show is The Mead House, not the Fun Fruit to Snack On House.
Yeah,
So,
well, yeah. So I went on a tangent. Sue me. Well, but like I said before, I did not stop there.
no, we also got
Golden berries.
golden berries, and they are gold to slightly orange color. They are roughly cherry size.
Yeah. Like a tart cherry size, not a Bing cherry. They're smaller than a Bing.
Okay, yeah, no.
But they're supposed to be tangy, tropical, and sweet, according to the label I'm looking at here.
Doesn't really smell like anything either,
No
but
smell. No seed either.
that is tart.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
It has kind of a pineapple-y taste to it,
Yeah.
a little
Now that one has potential.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have one more because these are small.
And I'm not. No, this is not traditional. It has a bite in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not really fond of, but I can work around that.
Well, we said no seeds. Seeds are small. It's not like it's got a little, like a cherry has a little pit to it.
No, this is your tiny seeds at best. I
Yeah, I can feel
think
the
I felt it
crunch
on my
on it.
teeth, but yeah.
Yeah, that's.
That's actually pretty good.
I mean, again, these are. We got these little. These are what, like little 4 or 6 or
Six
eight
ounce.
ounce.
Six ounce.
Yeah, 6 ounce clamshells. Even if you paid like buy one, get one half off on these, I think you're going to need quite a few of these
Yeah,
to make even a
I'm making an
gallon of
investment
these.
here. Actually, I found a seed on my tooth here.
Oh, yeah.
They are tiny.
Yep. That's looks like a little sesame seed or something, really. It's smaller than that, even.
But it has potential. And
Yeah.
honestly, oh, this is on my bucket list of dream pie in the sky dream meads for me. I heard about golden berries. I've never tried them. Now I have. They're pretty good.
Well, hell, if only I knew somebody that liked gardening and knew what to do with the seeds inside some of these guys, you
Well,
know.
yeah. Maybe you can twist his arm or something. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Okay, I'll do it.
I'm just saying, you
Just
know,
saying.
like you might have an idea or two to take home with you along with whatever
Yeah.
we don't eat on the show here.
Well, okay. Well, that's cool. But my other one is cloudberry. I want to do cloudberry at some point. But
Right, and your cloudberry, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think last week when we were just derping around and looking at these, you described it as like a combination of, was it raspberry and pineapple
yeah,
or?
that's what I was told. I've never tried one, so that's what the flavors I was told they were.
Okay, yeah, and it, you know, that was good. That was.
But this is stronger than what they describe cloudberry as.
Yeah. So I would hear out some cloudberry. I would hear that hell out. And I'm
Raspberry apricot with hints of
raspberry
red currant, that was,
apricot.
and mango.
Oh, that does sound good.
Oh yeah, that and you know, they look like kind of like a pale raspberry. And there's a picture for you. I mean, we can post if you want, but
Yeah, it's a kind of a pinkish yellow kind of raspberry little, what do they call that kind of fruit? Doesn't mean that.
doesn't matter. I have no idea, but it has kind of the structure where it has little fruitlet pieces around, making to a berry like a raspberry. But it's very pale, pink, yellow, golden, and they're northern fruits. They grow very slowly up north. There's like a very, very short time of harvesting and almost a shorter time of being able a viable, pardon me, viable fruit to use it. So yeah, I have to get a puree or something sent to me.
Either a puree or like get them flash frozen or something like that and
Yeah,
stored.
but
You
yeah.
know, the flash stuff that has a very short harvest and usability time is a perfect excuse for flash freezing in our case anyway, because you know we were going to freeze thaw and make it easier to process anyway,
Yeah,
right?
I'm not.
So
I wouldn't be mad at either one of those, but just the concept of a raspberry apricot with hints of red currant and mango, and it even says even savory olivary notes. That's just exotic to me. I've had a great many olives, and these are generally harvested in Norway. So there you go. I mean, this is
yeah,
cold
that's,
weather fruit.
oh man, that's a bucket list for sure. That's
Yeah.
definitely promising.
That may be our show, guys, because if this isn't a winning show to you, I apologize. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, because I have actually enjoyed this show a lot.
Oh yeah, no, we're having a great time, even if it's, you know, we're looking at a bunch of different like questions you guys are having or like ideas and issues we've seen come up that yeah, this time and last week we've been a little bit more explicit in that, hey, I was browsing around Facebook or Reddit and I saw this question come up. But a lot of the time this is just, hey, I was derping around in my garage making some mead, or hey, I was, you know, looking on Facebook or saw somebody asking about this on Facebook or
Oh,
and
hey, I was in the fruit aisle of
right.
a natural grocery store.
And that just sent me down a Wikipedia rabbit hole, and then I had to go, you know, look at more official sources, and you know,
Here we
it,
are.
yeah, exactly.
Now, I will tell you, I do have plans for the future. I want to tell you guys this up front. We have plans to talk about ginger as a
Yes.
mead thing in the future. What we can add ginger, what we can do with ginger. Because the colder months are, we're getting into them now. It's so kind of
We're
chilly out
into
here
them.
anyway.
We're into them. We've had some warm, we've had some cold, but
I think we're just going to be cold for a while now.
It's going to go more cold than warm these days. It's just a
But
fact
by
of life.
the same time, so we're going to talk about the warming meats. Maybe the cinnamons, maybe the spiced, maybe the ginger.
And I'll, you know, friend of the podcast, a Garrett over at Man Made Mead on YouTube did a very in-depth video, I want to say 2 3 weeks ago, on different types of cinnamon. And like I think he had, you know, the cassia versus the proper cinnamon, and he got some from Saigon, Vietnam, and things like that. And
So a trip to Penske's may be in order
right, yeah,
then.
something along those lines. But he did a pretty good in-depth with taste test and all that on these different kinds of cinnamons. It was actually really enjoyable to watch. And
Okay, so maybe we'll do a short recap of that, but I'm gonna dive into ginger. I've made a lemon ginger
yes.
that I was incredibly proud of.
But that was a very nice meat.
Yeah.
I remember having that fairly early in this iteration of the podcast.
I may have a bottle or two left. I'll see if I can grab one.
That wouldn't
Because
be a terrible thing to have
yeah.
with us. And you know, there are like we were talking about in the store, there are so many different ways you get ginger into something, whether it's like you could take a preserved ginger or a powdered ginger or a dry ginger or a fresh ginger.
Or ginger juice, which I did.
Right. And what are the positives and negatives on all of that? I mean, how do we, yeah, let's go down this rabbit hole because this is a versatile little thing.
So guys, we had a lot of fun the last couple of weeks because my personal busy season is kind of tapered down a little bit. I'm able to relax a little bit. It's kind of nice. But
We've gone from my kind of busy season to, well, my kid's having a birthday next week.
he's six now, right? No, he's not six anymore.
You're hurting my feelings,
No,
Jesus.
it hurts my feelings. I'm older than you, man. No, he's like, what? Yeah, 11, 12 now?
He's turning 12.
He's
He
turning
turned
12. Oh
12.
my gosh. Another child, been around his life so much, and I love him to death. Don't get me wrong. I will never be it, not be want to be a part of it. I'm collecting canes now, man.
Dude, like your kids, like Heather was eight and Rowan was six when I started hanging out with you
Yeah, now
guys.
they're
I'm like,
married. And,
well, yeah, Heather
well,
is,
Heather is, yeah.
but and Rowan's like what, 23, 24?
24 now,
Like,
until the end of the year.
hell.
We've been around each other for a while, guys.
How did I get so old?
I didn't get old. They just got older. I didn't get older. No, I'm 2 weeks away.
One of my fondest memories that first year, I was like hanging out with you guys and sword fighting and things like that, and I was just kind of derping around and having a rapier fight with Heather, and little 8, 9-year-old Heather's like, "Oh, you're getting so much better." It's like,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
She is brutal.
The 8 or 9-year-old thinks I'm a better sword fighter than I was a few months ago. That's great.
Yeah,
That's
she's always
great.
been brutal. Like she's still brutal,
Oh
man.
yeah, she.
I mean, I remember her cracking, learning to crack a bullwhip, and calling every person I worked with at the time where I worked. Oh, that's not very manly because they wouldn't come out and visit. I mean, I'm saying, dudes, turn your man card. Kid has just called you out, and you can't answer. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. Happy meeting. I hope you look forward to this. I hope you have as much fun as we do. Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there are more weird fruits like these we need to try, especially if they're in season right now or
Oh,
you
yeah.
have a line on them, let us know.
Let us know.
This was fun.
This was fun. Take care. Happy meeting.
Night, guys.